Welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk with acclaimed singer-songwriter and former South Dakotan, Haley Bonner, about her new CD, Last War, and we'll get some ideas for good beers for the summer with beer blogger Corey Vilhauer. But first, it's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us this week is Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. And Roger, thanks for joining the program.
Nice to be here, Carl.
Also with us on the line is Jonathan Ellis, reporter and columnist with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Jonathan, thanks for joining the program as well.
Hey, greetings, Carl.
Well, the South Dakota primary is less than 1 week away. There are big ticket races for U.S. Senate and governor. On the Senate side of things, Republican candidate Annette Bosworth held a rather emotional press conference in Sioux Falls yesterday. She was surrounded by campaign signs, defaced with sexist and graphic slurs, and decried what she described as the hateful, misogynistic things she's been called on the internet. Roger Whittle, I'm wondering if you think she has a point.
Well, of course she has a point if the things that were shown on the signs in her press conference are accurate. Yeah, I mean, it's terrible that people are saying these things about her.
And Jonathan Ellis?
Yeah, as Roger says, if in fact that's what's being said. I mean, I had a colleague, here who was kind of Googling around to see if he could find any evidence that these things were being said, and he couldn't. That doesn't mean to say that there weren't. I thought it was interesting. This press conference was pretty hastily called. I think the first notice we got of it, and I could be wrong here, was Tuesday morning. It was interesting to me that she made reference to the mass shooting and misogyny that took place in California, and I thought that might have been a little out of place, considering that this was a political event. But if in fact those things are being said about her on the internet, then yes, she would have a point. These are it's been a very broad criticism that women are unfairly targeted, not only in politics but in business, for criticisms that men simply don't face. It's happened with Hillary Clinton. It happened with Sarah Palin. It's happened in business. So if in fact this is taking place, it is unfortunate.
I think that Annette Bosworth was critical of attacks from supposedly tolerant liberals. I think those are her words, suggesting that the attacks are coming more from Democrats instead of Republicans in this case. But Jonathan Ellis, doesn't sound like that you particularly agree with that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would like to see what the attack. I mean, where show me the evidence that these kinds of pretty vile words are being said about her. I mean, there are a few things here points I would make on this issue. And that, first off, she listed a long list of women in South Dakota politics who, for the most part, I think all of them had actually been elected to office, both liberal Democrats and conservatives. And then from there, she launched into this whole thing about how liberals were attacking her. That's fine. Again, I'd want to see the evidence first. A couple points I guess I would take away from this is that she's coming across as a victim, and that's never good when you're running a campaign. I mean, the press conference was incredibly emotional. Some of that you heard on your newscast ahead of time, and again, no matter who you are, you don't want to come across as a victim when you're running in a political campaign.
Roger Whittle, one of the things I think she focused on was the internet criticism, online comments, and that sort of thing. Do you see that the nature of the discussion different on the internet and some of the things that are said versus what's written in newspapers or seen on TV and heard on the radio?
Well, of course, that's true. You get these blogs where commenters have total anonymity and a platform to speak, and they know that they can say pretty much anything they want in a consequence-free environment. And unfortunately, there's people out there that living in their parents' basement with their laptop who troll around these sites just to make these kind of comments. And I would say it's nothing personal against her. It's just these people. This is what a certain percentage of them do out there. And that's very different from what you see, read in newspapers, because we only print the truth, and Jonathan's name is on every story he writes. so we don't have that kind of anonymity where we can just spew forth anything we want.
Well, Roger, do you think that women in politics face a different kind of criticism than male politicians?
History has probably shown that to be true, although I think there's some things that President Obama goes through that that you could say would be on the same level as that. But yeah, it's still, politics is still male-dominated, and I think a lot of times women are thought of as intruding on that.
Yeah, Jonathan?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think the complaint that women have made, and it's legitimate, is that oftentimes, you know, criticisms are gender-specific. For example, there'll be criticisms about their wardrobe or things of that nature that maybe men aren't subjected to. And that's not, and again, it's in politics, and it's across the political spectrum. I mean, you saw that the McCain campaign tried to, you know, implied that a lot of criticisms of Sarah Palin were sexist, and certainly Hillary Clinton has been that target too. So, you know, it's in politics and it's in business. I mean, you know, there my wife is actually reading this right now, the book by Sheryl Sandberg, Lean In, talking about, you know, the different expectations that women will face in the business place. So this is, you know, this is across the spectrum for women.
Well, moving from the Annette Bosworth press conference, there's less than a week to go, as I mentioned, in the June 3rd Republican U.S. Senate primary. Roger Whittle, is former Governor Mike Round's place as the front runner pretty much secure in these last few days?
Sure looks like it. This has been a really interesting campaign because as soon as he announced, then we had all the really conservative candidates just licking their chops, waiting at a chance to run against him in the primary, and he has managed to hold them all off with seemingly very little effort. So yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to win, and he's probably going to win very easily.
Jonathan Ellis, is it somewhat surprising or surprising at all that the other candidates didn't make more of, seemingly haven't made much of a dent in Mike Round's position as front runner?
Well, the Rounds people, I mean, to their credit, they got out early, they raised money, and you know, the challengers that emerged, and I think some of them really had things turned out, the environment turned out a little, you know, differently, would have had a legitimate shot, okay? But they were never able to, and this is the big issue here, is they were never able to attract the sort of outside sort of money that it takes to really get your message out. And I think that, you know, there were so many challengers. I mean, if it would have been Rounds versus one person who, that one person could have run to the right of Mike Rounds and had significant financial backing, which exists out there, then I think it would have been a totally different race. I probably would have been a dogfight. But you know, there were too many candidates. None of them ever really had the resources to really get their message out. Nobody has really been able to attack Mike Rounds, and certain there are issues that he's vulnerable on, and his primary opponents just have never been able to a mass audience raise those questions.
Well, we move into the general election, assuming here that Mike Rounds wins the Republican nomination. He'll face Democrat Rick Weiland, who isn't opposed in any primary. There are also independent candidates and ex-Republicans Larry Pressler and Gordon Howey. Roger Whittle, do you see any of them maybe posing more of a challenge to Mike Rounds and maybe taking on some of the issues that he might be vulnerable on?
Oh, definitely. I think that's another interesting about this, that he's probably going to have a tougher time in the general election than he had or is having in the primary, because there is going to be a ton of money flowing into this campaign, the Weiland campaign, to keep that seat in Democratic hands. He's vulnerable on a lot of issues. EB-5, I think you're going to hear more about it in the days leading up to the general election than we have in the primary, even though, as Jonathan said, the Republican candidates have good messages. I've sat down with all of them except Dr. Bosworth, and they have good points and good messages. I just haven't been able to get them out. Rick Weiland will be able to get those messages out.
Jonathan Ellis, how do you see the post-primary Senate campaign looking?
You know, it's going to be more interesting than a typical general election, just because you have the independent candidates. I don't know. I have my doubts about how resourced Rick Weiland is going to be. I mean, he's sort of crosswise with the Senate Democrat leadership. If he can start polling, looking like he can, that the race is in play, then certainly he will get the resources necessary. But if it's in this, you have to take into account that this race is considered one of the top one or two in the country to flip. Okay, so that would mean that Democrats are already playing with a lot of other races, and they might just be giving this one up. Okay. But if Rick can show that he's in contention, that he's within striking distance, they might put a little money into, national Democrats might put a little money into this race, and that could go a long ways. Some attack ads against Mike Rounds. If Gordon Howey gets enough, disaffected, Tea Party, conservative voters who aren't going to vote for Mike Rounds because they don't think he's conservative enough, they go to Gordon Howey. Larry Pressler could get some establishment Republicans. At the same time, I think I see Larry Pressler probably getting a fair amount of Democratic voters, too. I mean, some of the people who are helping him are Democrats, and I've talked to some prominent Democrats who, frankly, won't vote for Rick because they believe he's too liberal. We're talking about the sort of Herseth, Johnson split within the Democratic Party, so I think that Pressler will see some Democratic support as well. So it really, I guess I'm being long-winded here, but there, it could be very interesting. I mean, it could just be Mike Rounds wins an easy race, but there are a lot of variables out there that you just don't normally see in a general election.
Roger Whittle, looking at Larry Pressler, do you agree with Jonathan's assessment that he's kind of an interesting candidate and that he has that appeal to both Republicans and Democrats?
He does, and I think Jonathan's right. He will take some votes away from Rick Weiland, but I think he's also going to take some Republican votes away from Rounds on the same basis.
Well, moving on from the U.S. Senate primary, there are also races for governor. Dennis Dugard faces a challenge from former lawmaker Laura Hubbell on the Republican side. And then State Representative Susan Wismer faces former wildfire chief Joe Lowe in the Democratic gubernatorial primary. Jonathan Ellis, do you think either Joe Lowe or Susan Wismer have done much to distinguish themselves as candidates?
You know, my colleague David Montgomery had a piece on that race that ran a couple of days ago, and the conclusion from some Democrats that he interviewed was that Joe Lowe was running was much more visible than Susan Wismer. And so it's funny, we talk about these marquee Republican headlines. Actually, this race might be the more interesting one that at the end of Tuesday night, to see who prevails there.
And the two candidates are debating on SDPB TV tomorrow evening. And Roger Whittle, do you think that debate will help clear up some mystery about these candidates among Democratic voters?
It certainly will for me. I haven't heard much from either one of them, and Representative Wismer is from up in my area here. It's been a very, very quiet Democratic campaign so far, and I'm really anxious to watch the debate and see what they have to say.
In looking at the general election, Roger, did you think that one candidate or the other would pose a bigger challenge to Governor Dugard?
Well, a bigger challenge is a very relative term. I don't think Governor Dugard's losing sleep thinking about either one of them running against him in the general election.
And Jonathan Ellis, I think that, again, Governor Dugard is pretty much a lock on this, or still too early to say from a May perspective.
You given history, you would definitely bet the farm on Dugard, right? Democrats haven't won a governor's race in decades, but that said, I mean, if you look at the two candidates we're talking about, Susan Wismer, who I've known for a few years, very intelligent woman, very thoughtful. I mean, she brings certain strengths to the table. Joel Lowe, he's got some executive experience already, and I mean, he's again very been running an energetic campaign. I mean, both of them are good candidates, and frankly, if you're a Democrat, you know, where you've got a pretty thin bench, you kind of have to, you know, had hoped that maybe you could have fielded one for one race and one for another race, so that you'd have them in the general election, because they're both good candidates, and one of them won't be there after Tuesday night.
Well, after Tuesday night, Roger, what do you think things will be like for the campaigning season over the summer anyway? Do you think things will really start to pick up, or do you think there'll be sort of maybe a period of people taking their breaths?
Well, I think I don't think you're going to see much of a break in the Senate campaign, because Rounds has a lot of money and he's going to keep spending it. I can't see the governor's race being all that noisy leading up to the election, but well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Jonathan Ellis, what do you expect this summer?
You know, typically we'll see a slowdown following primaries. That's typically how things work. I mean, we've got the conventions coming up, so we got others. You know, we'll start to the full tickets will emerge in terms of some of the other offices. And then typically, you know, you've got some downtime where things don't really start to heat up again until maybe later in August. That isn't always true. I mean, the 2010 general election between Stephanie Hursa-Salen and Kristi Noem really never settled down and was pretty hot all summer. But I would expect, I mean, a lot of it will depend upon when, you know, Rick Wyland's got money and when he wants to start spending it. You typically want to hold on to it till later into the cycle when voters are paying attention. And then, you know, do Larry Presser and Gordon Howard, are they going to have any resources to start going after Mike Rounds as well? And if they don't have the money, then yeah, I would expect it could be quieter.
Well, we'll have to see what happens. I'd love to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. Jonathan, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you.
And Roger, nice to talk with you as well.